Morning.
Wow. All right. It's great to see everybody here. Hey, Ballmers. Hey, how you doing? You know, a very odd perk about, you know, COVID is that, you know, when people start coming back, you haven't seen them all. It's like, you know, it's like a box of chocolates. You come to church, it's like, oh my gosh, who's going to be here this week? You know, so it's really cool. So good to see you, Ballmers, and good to see everybody else. Welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm up here a little earlier than I normally would be because I want to do a few things. First of all, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day, right? To all the moms out there, Happy Mother's Day. So praise the Lord for you. Praise the Lord for moms. We bless the name of Jesus for moms. And for all of you who are here, for all of you who are out there watching us live, for those of you who are catching us a little bit later, in the name of Jesus Christ, God bless every household, obviously. But today is Mom's Day, so we're going to praise the Lord for moms. And it's you know, all the moms out there, those of you who are just, you know, been doing it and been raising bad kids like me, like, I just praise the Lord that, you know, for moms who had a kid like me, and I praise the Lord for my mom who was awesome and who did it by herself. So I just really bless the Lord. It's your day. I hope it's cool, and I hope it's amazing and awesome. And everybody out there, husbands, kids, you know, grandkids, treat them right. Right, treat them right. Some of y'all started early. Some of you, it's going to be today. Do right. Whatever you do, do it well, do it right, and make it awesome for mom. We're going to say a special blessing and for moms, whether you're here with us or you're out there in the live feed. We're just going to bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's bless moms in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we praise you that you have seen fit to structure families the way you have. Thank you for moms. Thank you, Lord, that even when you sent your son into this world, you made sure he had a mama and a daddy. And I thank you for his mom. Thank you for Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, and what she did and what she meant to him and who she was to him in his life. Lord, we thank you for moms here and all around the world. We praise you. We bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for protection, for strength, for guidance. We pray, Lord, for encouragement. Because it's so many times that moms can feel unseen, and we want to say we see them. We see them with your eyes today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that every mom here, watching us live, and everywhere else would feel seen, would feel heard by you, the living God, known by you, loved by you, appreciated by you. In the name of Jesus, thank you for moms. Amen. All right, great. Praise the Lord. And then something else we want to do here, so we want to mark transitions here at Journey. As you know, during COVID, which was, you know, a year of incredible transition, we had a few transitions at our kids ministry director position. We had Amanda Gregory, who was with us, who was quite effective and awesome, and who's still with the Journey family. And she transitioned with respect to having a baby. Right, and so that was a big deal, and went on maternity leave and everything, and then found that, you know, she had her call as a mom and her call as a wife deepened, and so she's transitioned off staff, right, as Journey Kids Ministry Director. And in that whole time, we had Becky Jantz. Becky Jantz was serving first as an assistant, but then when Amanda transitioned off, Becky rose up to be the interim children's ministry director, and as an interim who was buying us time to be able to find a permanent person. But in that time, Becky way outperformed her contract, was like awesome with awesome sauce, right? And but made it clear that she did not feel that the Lord was calling her to fulfill this position on a permanent basis. So we said, okay, we can roll with that. So let's pray and see what the Lord's going to say. And God's good. God is good. So we have found a more permanent replacement for a kids ministry director. Very quickly, we, you know, like a lot of churches, we start our search internally because that just makes sense. If you have people who are already kind of used to the way the Lord is at work in your church and used to your culture and everything, and, you know, somebody who knows people, who's trusted, why not start there? Right, and then if you can't make it happen locally or, you know, within the congregation, you move outward. But by God's grace, we have been blessed a third time, and you got to really praise the Lord, because when we first filled the Journey Kids Ministry Director position, at least in the last few years, we were able to go internal with Amanda, and then internally with Becky, and now you know, internally with Aaron Cox. And so Aaron Cox is going to be our new Journey Kids Ministry Director. So we want to call him up. If y'all can come on up. And so we just want to pray over them. If we could get a few elders to come up, if you are present and you're an elder, if you could come up, that would be great. Or elder or elder's wife, because elder wives do have a significant role on our elder team. That's the way we do things in our church. And so if you could come up, that would be amazing. And we got to do this COVID safe, so if you could kind of extend hands. You got to qualify everything these days with, like, you got to do it COVID safe. So if you could extend hands and lay on, instead of laying on hands, that would be great as we have this transition. And we just want to pray about this transition, and just we want to bless this transition, because we prayed, the Lord answered, so we're going to bless what the Lord is doing. All right. So I'm just going to read a short passage. This is from 1 Peter 5, first few verses of 1 Peter 5, which is a great leadership passage. It reads as follows: to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those who are entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will not fade away. Becky has done this, right? And so we praise the Lord for that. And then Aaron's going to do this. So let's go ahead and pray and join. And I'm going to pray, but don't just like listen to me pray. You pray. You know how to pray, all right? And so we're going to do it. Let's pray. Living God who is good, thank you that there's so many instances where we have everything we need in the body of Christ, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the way you structured the body to work. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to be able to raise up Amanda from within our ranks. You allowed us to be able to raise up Becky from within our ranks. You've allowed us to be able to raise up Aaron from within our ranks. We acknowledge you. Thank you for everything Becky has been and done, the way she has totally outperformed her contract, been amazing on our team, contributed mightily to our culture. We look forward to more of what you're going to do in and through her in another role. We praise you for Erin and for the fact that she has stepped up to the plate and is looking to be Journey Kids Ministry Director. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would anoint her and for just a fruitful ministry among our kids, to raise up the next generation that will honor you, that will live for you, and that will stand as light in a dark world. In the name of Jesus, we pray blessings on both of their households, blessings on all that they do for you, and alignment of their hearts with your purposes and fruitfulness in ministry. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, amen. Yes, praise him. All right, now watch this. So like right after like all the blessing and everything, okay, so like kids, wait, I'm sorry, go.
There's a special gift at the end of service on the table.
Yes, okay, great, excellent. So kids, you are dismissed to go be with Miss Erin and Miss Becky and the rest of the team back there. Also, moms, hey, check this out. We got a special Mother's Day gift, COVID safe and edible for you, right? After service, there's a back table in the back. Go back there and get your special gifts from Mother's Day. That's for you from Journey. And it's all like safe and cool and awesome and like germy free and everything. So that is for you. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. But we are going to get into the word this morning. And so we got a word for you this morning from the Lord. And so let's pray as we turn to the word. Living God, we need you. And I need you as I bring the word. I pray, God, that you would be with us, that you who are everywhere would be with us in a very special and specific way to deliver your word into our hearts so that we might be effective for you, so that we might live effectively for you in this world. We do, Lord, I ask you to please be with me and let anything unclean be far from me and help me to only communicate your heart and your mind. You are worthy of all praise and honor. May you be praised, may you be honored by everything that comes forth concerning the word today. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Well, it's Mother's Day, and I want you to turn to a specific passage that may not feel like a Mother's Day passage, but it is. It is, or at least it is today, right? And so we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And whether you're doing that digitally or you're doing that analog, right, just as long as you can get to it, rock and roll, you know, and that's the word for you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. All right, we're going to read that together just now. 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So this is kind of a weird passage to be reading on Mother's Day, because it starts out with Paul, the apostle, talking to a guy named Timothy, and in verse 2, calling him my dear son. So it seems like a Father's Day passage. You can look at that and say, wow, Pastor Myron got it really confused. He took what is more appropriately a Father's Day passage, and he's got it on Mother's Day. Well, that's not good, right? And then like some of the dads are like, yeah, you're short in this, man. What do you got for us in June, right? Don't worry, dads, I got you. It's okay. In fact, I planned yours out like from last year because everything was weird, so we didn't exactly get a Father's Day sermon. So it's cool. I got you. But you know, yeah, there is a father-son relationship in this passage, that's true. But I think that this is actually very much a Mother's Day passage. And to start out, I want to just ask a question. Who cheers for you in times when you feel inadequate? Who cheers for you? Who's your cheerleader in times when you have felt, or maybe you do feel, inadequate? When you feel like you're not up to something, you're not up to the task, or you don't have enough energy or enough know-how to accomplish what you need to accomplish? Who cheers for you in times where you feel inadequate? Right? In times where you've been assigned maybe a big project at work, but you don't know if you've got the skills to pull it off. Who cheers for you in times when you got to make a big decision, but you need wisdom for which path to take, and you don't have the wisdom, right? Who cheers for you in times when you know there's a risk you have to take? In fact, not only that, you know exactly what the risk is. You know exactly what the risk is, but you're searching for the courage to head into uncharted territory. Who cheers for you? Who's your cheerleader? Who are your cheerleaders? Right? Who roots for you? Right? Who roots for you? Who's been your biggest supporter in these times? Right? Who's your biggest cheerleader maybe right now? Right? And maybe your biggest supporter or supporters are your parents. Maybe that's the case. Right? And more specifically, obviously in honor of this day, maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your mom. Right? Maybe, you know, maybe that your mom's your biggest supporter, cheerleader, you know, the biggest one with the big megaphone saying, you can do it, right? Maybe your mom's the biggest one, right? So that's really appropriate, especially for today. Or maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe you have a small circle of friends who you've been tight with for a very long time. Could be people maybe you were in a band with. Right, it could be people who it's some activity that bound you together a long time ago and continues to bind you together right now, or maybe it's a best friend. Maybe that person is your biggest supporter when you feel inadequate or when you feel out of sorts, or maybe it's a mentor, right? Like Paul is to Timothy, someone from the past or the present who spoke or speaks powerfully into your life, someone who continues to do that even to this very day, right? Who's your big cheerleader, your big supporter, or who has been that for you in the past, in times where maybe you feel inadequate, or you feel that you're out of sorts, or maybe a time like COVID, you know, when many of us have needed a cheerleader or two or three or four or five, right? Well, in this second letter to Timothy, right, Paul the apostle is cheering Timothy on. This is, as you can tell, letter number two to Timothy. And so we have obviously 1 Timothy, and Timothy is he's an elder or a bishop. If you read the scriptures and you see the word elder, bishop, overseer, right? That's all the same thing. It's just different ways of saying the exact same function. It's somebody who oversees a church or maybe a group of churches, because back then you would have had something more like house churches in many instances. And so Timothy would be an elder over all these churches in a place called Ephesus, which is a church that, or a group of churches that we know the most about in the New Testament. We know more about the churches in Ephesus easily than any other church. And they pop up over and over again. It pops up in Acts. The church at Ephesus pops up in Ephesians, obviously, right? Church at Ephesus is mentioned in Corinthians. The church at Ephesus is the location of what's of it's where Timothy is, so it's where we find Timothy as a leader. The church at Ephesus is also, by tradition, it's said that's where John is, all three of his letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, that's where he is when he writes those letters. And the church at Ephesus is also mentioned in the book of Revelation. Jesus speaks specifically to seven churches, and Ephesus is one of those churches. We know a lot about Ephesus. We know a lot about the church there. And this is Paul's second letter to Timothy, and he's Timothy's big cheerleader, right? He's his big cheerleader, and you get that sense when you read both the letters. They have a father-son relationship. Timothy is biracial. His mother is Jewish. And his grandmother is Jewish as well. His dad is what they call a Greek, and a Greek could be, you literally are Greek, you're from Greece, or it could also just be another word for Gentile, just non-Jewish. In any event, he's biracial, and he's young. He's a young leader. And Paul has kind of taken him under his wing. You see a lot of Paul and Timothy, if you read enough of Paul's letters. And he has a deep affection for Timothy. You see in verse 2, to Timothy, my dear son, right? So this is a deep affection that he has for Timothy. And Paul, as we said, he's got the big megaphone for Timothy. He's a big cheerleader. Why? Why the cheerleading for Timothy? Because I started out by asking, who's your big cheerleader, your supporter, in a time of inadequacy, in a time when you feel out of sorts, you're not up to it. You're not up to the task, or maybe you're in the wilderness, right? Or in some kind of darkness. Who's your big cheerleader to get you out of that? And so Paul is doing that for Timothy, but you might say, well, why? Why does he need to be the big cheerleader for Timothy? Well, there's a few reasons. First, he's a young leader. He's young. He's a young guy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul writes this to Timothy. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and impurity. We know he's young. 2 Timothy, this very letter we're reading right now, chapter 2, verse 22, flee the evil desires of youth. See that? And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Also, Timothy is frequently ill. He was prone to illness for some reason. We're not told why, but he had some kind of chronic thing that popped up. And it's in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Paul says, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. So who knows what that was about, but there's some illness there he had to deal with. So he's young. He's prone to some sort of illness. We have no idea what it is. And then also, it seems like he can be a bit timid. He can be a bit timid, right? Or fearful, or what we say in like colloquially these days, skittish. He could be a little skittish. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 10 through 11. And Paul writes this. He says, when Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he's with you. For he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I'm expecting him along with the brothers. And then verse 7 of the passage that we have before us this morning, he writes to Timothy, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. There seems to be some kind of skittishness about him. I don't know if this was chronic or if it just popped up every once in a while and Paul saw it and really wanted, you know, said, hey, this doesn't disqualify you from leadership, but let's work on it, you know, over time. You know, but it's something like that seems to be going on with Timothy to the point where Paul has to remark on it. So we have a young leader who is frequently ill and at times can be a little timid or a little skittish. You need a cheerleader. You need a cheerleader, especially if you're going to be what Timothy is right now. He's an elder. He's an elder. And remember what elder means in the New Testament. It's really simple. It's a simple equation for what elder means. Elder equals pastor equals bishop equals overseer. They're the same thing. There's just different words for the same thing. Elder, pastor, bishop, overseer, same thing. Right? Timothy's a pastor. Right? And he's a pastor who's young, he's prone to some sort of illness, and he can be a bit skittish. The man needs a cheerleader. Right? And Paul's his cheerleader. Paul's his cheerleader, right? Paul is Timothy's biggest cheerleader. You read 1 Timothy, you read 2 Timothy, you read some other letters of Paul, and you see he's the big cheerleader. And what Paul's basically saying is, look, you've got what it takes because God gave it to you. That's it. You've got what it takes because God gave it to you, not because you're really cool, not because in and of yourself, in and of your flesh, your own power, you're amazing. Right? Not because you know how to win friends and influence people, even though that's not a bad skill set to learn, but it's not because of that. Paul basically is telling Timothy, you've got what it takes because God put it in you. And that's the way he cheerleads for Timothy. That's what he's yelling through the big megaphone, the big cheerleader megaphone is you've got what it takes because God put it in you. And he cheers Timothy on in two ways that we're going to see in our passage. The first thing is Paul lets Timothy hear his heartbeat. Paul lets Timothy hear his heartbeat. It's like he's got a stethoscope, and he puts it up to Timothy's ears, and he puts it up to his own heart, and he lets Timothy hear his heartbeat, Paul's heartbeat for Timothy. He puts him in his own heart and says, I want you to hear my heart for you. Right? So we're going to look at that. Start at verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, verse 3, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. Paul's taking a stethoscope, and he's putting it up to Timothy's ears, and he's putting it up to his own heart. And he's like, I want you to hear my heartbeat for you, pal. I want you to hear what my heart thinks about you. Not just what I think about you in my mind, what I think about you in my heart. Yeah. Right? I want you to hear it. Right? He lets him know what he thinks of him. He remembering Timothy ignites thanksgiving to God in Paul's heart. It ignites thanksgiving to God in Paul's heart. He says, I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. He's like, when I go before God, here's what I think of you. Right? And you deepen my spirituality with God. Yes, Lord. My walk with God is deepened because of you. Wow. What a great thing to hear from somebody who leads you. For someone who leads you. My walk with God, my worship of God is deepened because of you. Right? You make me more thankful to God because you are in my life. Right? That's what he's shouting with his megaphone. Hear my heartbeat. Hear my heartbeat. Next, he talks about the fact that he can't wait to be joyfully reunited with Timothy Verse 4, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that what? I might be filled with joy. Right? So they had there was a departure. I mean, Timothy had to go. Paul, you know, is always on the go. Sometimes he's in jail. Right? And there was tears. Right? There were tears, not sadness in the sense of, you know, that some of the terrible things that can happen between people, but tears that, you know, they knew they had their missions. They had, you know, Paul had a mission. Timothy had a mission. Sometimes their mission for Christ brings them together. Sometimes it pulls them apart. Right? And this is obviously a time where they have to be apart. And Paul sent Timothy to go and be a shepherd at Ephesus because Ephesus needed some serious course correction as a church. And if you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you see some of what's happening in Ephesus. There's a lot of doctrinal confusion. There are false leaders with terrible theology and spirituality that have snuck in. And there's all kinds of disorder. And he's like, Timothy, go fix it. Right? And they got to be separated because of that. And there was tears. He says, he recalls Timothy's tears, but then he wants to come back together with him so that he could be filled with joy. You know, Timothy needs to see the impact he has in the life of his own mentor. Right? And he's saying, my worship is deepened because of you. My worship before God's deepened because of you. And then also, right, My joy will be deepened. I look forward to my joy being deepened because if you hear my heartbeat, right? You've got what it takes, and I'm showing you my heartbeat so that you know that you got what it takes because this is what I think of you, right? But next, Paul reminds Timothy of his own heartbeat. Paul takes that same stethoscope, it's up in Timothy's ears, and he puts it on Timothy's own heart. Because Timothy needs to see that something inside of him. This happens a lot with us. When, I'd say probably everybody who's ever done anything significant in their life, you've needed someone outside of you to show you that you have what it takes to accomplish whatever that is, right? Because we don't always tackle things with confidence, especially when we're young. Right, and especially if we have some setbacks, like Timothy has illnesses that are frequent for him. There's some kind of frequency to them. He's got this skittishness that comes up in his ministry with I don't know how much regularity there was, but it was enough to where Paul calls it out, and he mentions it in a few places. Right, and some of us it's setbacks because of our background. Right, we've had a rough background in one way or another. Right, some of us it's setbacks because of just things that are very unique to us. It could be anything, but we need somebody on the outside to say, "Let me show you what's inside of you." So the first thing that Paul does is, "Let me show you what's inside of me because of you." Right, but then the second thing now is Paul reminds Timothy of his own heartbeat. He takes a stethoscope, puts up Timothy's heart, and he's like, "I need to show you you. You understand who you are, right?" You understand who you are. He shows him what's inside of him. That's in verses 5 through 7. Paul says this, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, verse 5, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. He reminds him of what's in him, and in addition to letting Timothy know the way he's impacted Paul's heart, he's showing him, hey, here's what's inside of you, right? Here's what's inside of you, and he first takes him back down memory lane to his mother and his grandmother, right? Here's our Mother's Day angle. His mother and his grandmother. His grandmother's name is Lois, and his mother's name is Eunice. Right, and he says that he describes them like this. He said, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, and that same sincere faith lived within his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice." And he says, "I'm persuaded now lives in you." Right, he takes him down memory lane. He's like, "You have sincere faith. I'm persuaded that you have it, and you know that Paul's persuaded because Timothy's an elder, right? He's a pastor, right?" And Paul wouldn't send him if he didn't think that Timothy did not have sincere faith. So we know that that's accurate. But then he says, and this is the same faith that lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. He's basically showing him, like, here's where you got it from, pal. Here's where you got it from, right? You got it from your grandmother. You got it from your mother, right? It's interesting that earlier Paul referred to himself as Timothy's spiritual father, to Timothy, my dear son, he says. And you'll find other references to this in the Timothy letters. But he doesn't forget Timothy's mom. And he doesn't forget Timothy's grandmother. Paul rightly, he says he sees Timothy's spiritual father. That's true. But he doesn't forget that before he came along, way before he entered the picture, right? Timothy's mom, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, were doing right. They were living a sincere faith, and then they were passing it on. They made it viral. They were passing it on, right? They were passing that on. And be encouraged, moms, because what you pass on can live on, right? The sincere faith that's in you, that lives in you, not shrivels, not barely hangs on by a thread, but lives, is vibrant, has a vibrant life. Your sincere faith in the Lord Jesus through the power of the gospel, right? It can go viral. It can be passed on. And even though people build on it down the stretch, it doesn't diminish what you've done. It doesn't diminish what you've done, right? And it's interesting that this sets Timothy up, right? Because Paul, it sets Timothy up for what Paul and the other elders are going to do. We see that Paul says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, right? For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We're not sure what this gift is. It seems like some kind of spiritual gift, like something that Timothy needed for this assignment that God gave him. There's another reference to it in 1 Timothy, where basically God endowed Timothy with something, right? There's something spiritual, something happened, like a spiritual gift that was specifically for this task, and it came through the laying on of hands. Right, and we're not exactly told what that is, and that's fine by me. But it's some kind of empowerment that Timothy received. And Paul's showing him what's in him. He shows him, first of all, faith is in you, and it was passed down from mom and grandmother to you. Sincere faith, living faith. Right? And now you got empowerment, you know, from the Lord, but through me. Right? And he's got empowerment. But Timothy, it's Timothy's responsibility to fan this in the flame, right? Fan in the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. There's that timid thing. He's telling Timothy, look, you got to fan this thing in the flame, pal. And it seems like it's going to take some level of courage for this to happen, basically, because the way that this gift is going to come alive is Timothy's got to push through adversity. And when you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you kind of get why he needed an extra dose from the Lord, because this church is got some issues, right? They're not like all terrible. There's great things going on there too, because Ephesus was a very fruitful kind of place for the gospel. But my goodness, it was also very dark. You read in Acts about how the gospel got planted in Ephesus and then how the church got planted, and it was against serious spiritual darkness. It was straight up spiritual warfare. Lots and lots and lots of demonic things they had to push through. And it continued even as the church got established. And so there was a lot of fruit, but where there's a lot of fruit also, the devil strikes out pretty hard. Right? And so Timothy's got to push through and fan this thing in the flame. He's got to fan this gift in the flame. It's just, God's not just going to magically do stuff through us, right? He's got to have courage. And Paul's showing him, look, you got the power, pal, because of the Lord. But you got to act on it. You know, you got to cowboy up, man up, right? So he shows him his own heartbeat. Through mom and grandmother, you got a real living faith. And then through me, by the power of God, you got empowerment. You got power, right? You got power. And for those who are celebrating their moms today, you know, just to bring this back to Mother's Day, you should be encouraged over what God gave you through your mom, right? Be encouraged over what God has passed on to you through your mother, and even by way of extension through your grandmother, you know, and by way of extension through your parents. Be encouraged about what the Lord has passed on to you and act on it. Act on it. It's not magic what our parents pass on to us. It's not magic what our moms and our grandmothers pass on to us. It doesn't just like magically just, you know, activate on its own. You're not a robot. You know, things that stuff just doesn't just move you like a puppet. You gotta move. You gotta make a move. Right? You gotta make a move. You gotta work out what the Lord has worked in. Right? And what's passed on to us through mom and through grandmothers, it's not magic. So, but we should be encouraged because the Lord looks at us sometimes and says, it's in you. Right? Kind of a kick in the pants moment. I've given you everything you need. Look at your mom. Right? Look at your grandmother. I gave you everything you need from them, through them. You already have it. You have to act. Right? You have to act. For those who are celebrating their moms today, be encouraged over what God gave you through mom. For moms, moms, you be encouraged. Be encouraged over what God gives your children through you. Right? Moms and grandmothers, because we got a grandmother here in our passage as well. Be encouraged over what God gives to your children, your grandchildren, through you. Through you. Right? God gives faith to our kids through us. Right? That's exactly what Paul's saying here. Right? It's viral. Now, it's not automatic. Right? Because our kids can refuse. I got four. I'm praying for them all to know Jesus. Right? It's looking good right now, but that's really cool to say when your oldest is 12. Right? It's kind of easy. Right? It's some difficulty already, but man, it's easy to like look like a rock star when your oldest kid is just 12, right? So I'm aware that, hey, we got a ways to go here. We got to pray this through, and dad's got to live right and be a good example, and we got to do all kinds of things. There's all kinds of training that has to happen, actual discipleship, right? But the Lord does work in and through you, mom, to pass on faith. The Lord does not leave us alone, right? He will work. He will work through the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of our children. He hears our prayers on behalf of our children. Trust me, he really does, even when they're young. It is astonishing what even young kids, what God already starts doing in their hearts. It's shocking, right? He doesn't leave us alone, right? Faith gets passed on. But then also, what you do, moms, grandmothers, what you do for kiddos in passing on faith and in raising them for Christ Jesus, for the glory of Christ, it's a foundation for the next leg of their spiritual journey. As I said earlier, Paul starts out by saying, hey, Timothy's my spiritual son. You're my spiritual son. But he doesn't forget that before he came along, Timothy had a godly mom and a godly grandmother. He didn't forget that. In fact, he rejoices over that. Right? You lay the foundation for the next leg in the spiritual journey. Whatever you're doing is laying the foundation. It's not like the fireworks just start when, you know, your kiddo goes, you know, off, is in high school and some youth pastor is really great and gets a hold of them and starts sharing the Christ and they grow and everything and they're mature in their faith, you know, or maybe there's somebody at school, some kid who loves Jesus who has that effect on them, or maybe it's in college down the stretch and there's some campus minister who has that effect on them, or some pastor, you know, in a local church. It didn't just start there. You lay the foundation, right? You lay the foundation if you're passing on the faith, right? Because by the time Paul got a hold of Timothy as his mentor, Timothy was ready, right? He was ready to be mentored by one of the greatest Christian church planters / missionaries to ever walk the planet. He was ready to receive gifting from the Lord through the laying on of hands. He was ready to be a pastor, right? And he didn't just get ready all because of Paul. It was mom, it was grandmother as well, right? So for moms today, be encouraged over what God gives your children through you. Right? Be encouraged because you lay the foundation for everything that comes later. right? This is true, yes, of dads, true of lots of people down the stretch as well. But today we're focused on moms, right? And you know, people like me, it's very easy for pastors to think it all started with us, right? We're just links in the chain. We're just further down the chain, right? But you were before us. You were before us. And then, as I was preparing this, something hit me, and I hope it's from the Lord. It was, you know, just a word to any moms who feel like they've messed up. You look at something like this, and you're like, oh my gosh, like Eunice and Lois were amazing, and I don't feel amazing, right? I don't feel amazing with my son. I don't feel amazing with my daughter. I don't feel amazing. Well, I'm sure Lois and Eunice did not always feel amazing, right? I'm sure there were times where Timothy was a handful. I'm sure Timothy had tweener years that were pretty rough. You know, I think in the ancient world, I doubt that he dyed his hair blue, right? Or that he came home, you know, listening to music that you might find objectionable, or something like that. But whatever it was in his context, I'm sure Timothy had some years where there was a little bit of a gap between, you know, mom and grandmother and him. I'm sure there were rough times with Timothy, right? Because we're seeing him right now. He's a pastor. Oh my gosh, right? And he's all spiffed up and cool looking, you know. And he rolls up Paul the Apostle. But he wasn't always that way. Lois and Eunice probably had some rough times with him, and you probably have some rough times. And sometimes you read things like this, and you're like, oh, man, the bar is so high. And then, you know, you start thinking about all the times that you know you messed up, right? And you think, this isn't for me. This passage isn't for me. This is for, like, super moms, right? Nope. That's not true. It's just this. Yeah, all parents mess up in some way, shape, or form. Some of us more profoundly at times than others. It's true. But if you're in Christ and you're faithful, faithfulness is not about never screwing up. It's about the fact that our screw-ups are simply not the whole story. Your whole story as a mom, your whole story as a grandmother is not kind of an ESPN blooper reel, right? There's also a highlight reel. There's also a highlight reel, right? And that's important to God. God is not just looking at your blooper reel. Now, Satan's only looking at your blooper reel. That's true. Don't listen to that punk, all right? And sometimes you get discouraged, and then you start focusing on your blooper reel. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm the worst parent ever. Like, how did God give me a kid? Hey, I'm a pastor and a dad, and I have that feeling too. I'm like, wow, God gave me kids. Why? Because today I'm a craptacular dad. And there's days where there's like a lot of, I'm sorry. Yeah, dad had a bad day today. Dad needs to repent. Can you forgive dad? And I'm a pastor. It's just that's not the whole story. See that? There's grace, and there's I'm sorry, and there's forgiveness. Right? And then also, by God's grace, there's still time. See that? There's still time. There's still time to recover lost ground. There's still time to push through confusion. There's still time to reconcile. Right? There's still time to shore things up. There's still time to be encouraged. There's still time. So if you feel like you messed up, I bet you anything that Eunice and Lois felt like they messed up too. And God is not just all about keeping a ledger of your mess ups. Because if you're in Christ and you're faithful, no matter how many mess ups there are, I bet you anything that there's a highlight reel that you may not be focused on as much as God is. I bet God's more excited about your highlight reel than he is your blooper reel. Yeah. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. All of us have needed a cheerleader. We've all needed someone to come alongside us and say, you can do it because God put it in you. And for many of us, that biggest cheerleader has been mom. Right? And moms, you need cheerleaders too. You need people to come alongside you and say, you can do it because God has put it in you to do, right? You can raise your kids to love Jesus because God has put it in you to do it, right? And then also you need people to come alongside you and say, by the way, you're doing a good job. You are doing it. Despite the blooper reel, who cares? I'm focused on the highlight reel, right? So let's make more highlights. Amen? I think we got somebody coming up giving a testimony about some highlight reel stuff. So ears open.